Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 68. I think we'll be there. We'll pray about it anyway. We've been, as Pastor John said, we've been in Sealy Lake now for, did I say 68? I meant 63. We've been in Sealy Lake for 13 years, almost 13 years. And the Lord has blessed us, and we thank you for your prayers. And we thank the Lord for this church. It's fun to hear the history of these churches. All these churches have a lot of intertwined history. I was just looking, we brought a Bible up here that we found somewhere in the church of Brother Anabnitz, and we brought it to leave for the Pestles. And I think it was it 51, 52, something up around there, and they were here in Kalispell at the time. It has a Kalispell address, and praise the Lord for the Anabnitz and their ministry that carries on to this day. And they've been gone. Brother Nabnett's been gone now for how many years? Anybody know? 10 years? No, probably 15 years. Mrs. Nabnett's been gone, but their ministry goes on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for those that have gone before us. And I called Brother Nabnett, Eldon Nabnett, to come look at our property lines up there in Sealy, about 10 years ago or so, because we were working on a building project, and he came up and found the lines, and he told me some of the stories of how the Lord had worked in his life, and how they met together and prayed and to build a building, and somebody just showed up with a truckload of building supplies. I think that was at the Sealy Lake Church. They came up and helped. And what a blessing. And I praise the Lord for those that have gone before us. And thank you, all of you here that have invested into the ministries over the years. And I praise the Lord for my family, my wife. I was going to say my parents first, but my wife. I guess my parents first. I praise the Lord for my wife. And her faithful service, 20 years we'll be married this year. And that makes my parents really old. And praise the Lord for my parents. Faithful servants to the Lord for many, many years. My dad led me to the Lord, and when I was just a baby, I don't know, around 6 years old, don't know the date exactly, but I remember where, in front of a Ben Franklin stove. Anybody remember those old Ben Franklin stoves that were terrible? Yeah, in front of one of those little old Ben Franklin stoves, and he took the Bible out. I asked him how to be saved, and he took the Bible out and showed me how I could know for sure that I was going to heaven. And the Lord called me. That song just, we could have had an invitation after your song. Praise the Lord. Has the Lord called you? I was thinking of the passage, this sermon, I don't know if I'll get to this sermon has changed, transformed over the days. Today and yesterday, I woke up laying in bed, working through the sermon, and then I tried to write it down, how the Lord put it, brought it into my mind, but I thought of the passage. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. We have a God. How do you explain that to somebody that does not know God? How do you explain a relationship? My wife and I are probably the closest people that I know of in my mind. How do I explain that relationship? How do you explain your relationship with the Lord? I was dealing with a man this week and talking to him on the phone, and he said he's been coming to church the last few weeks, and he said, "I don't really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way." And he has a bad taste for Christianity and Christians, and I just let him talk. And the Lord, it's not just belief, it's a relationship. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? I'm going to be all over the day. Remember who He is. He's our Lord. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 4, verse 6, verse chapter 6, verse 4 and 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. He is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou layest down, and when thou risest up. I praise the Lord for parents who were faithful for many years. Faithful to take us to church. Faithful to the Lord, still faithful to the Lord after many years. I praise the Lord for the people that He brings into our lives. The way He... praise the Lord for His call. He's called me by my name. Has He called you by your name? Remember the prodigal son? This prodigal son keeps coming up in my sermons. I don't know why, but he keeps coming back. Remember the prodigal son went and wasted his father's living, his inheritance, years of work. Some of you are older men here. Can you imagine giving the inheritance to your children after working for many years, your whole lifetime, and then your son takes it and squanders it and finds himself in a pig pen feeding the sheep? If you know anything about the Jewish way of life, that was not kosher. They didn't have anything to do with pigs. But this Jewish boy found himself, probably in his early 20s, found himself in a pig pen feeding sheep. And he wanted to eat what the sheep were eating. He was hungry. He was sitting there and thinking, my dad's servants have it better than this. And he said, maybe my dad will take me back. And guess what? Every day, his dad was wondering if, oh, will he come back? He's sitting in his house waiting. No, he's standing up on his porch watching for his son to come home. Can you put yourself in that story today? Psalm 51, can you put your life in the story of David? It's foundational. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Is He your God? Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Are we hungry? Are we hungry for God to work in our lives like He used to work? Or are we hungry for all the things that the world has to offer? I'm sorry, but my struggle today is the same struggle that the Laodicean church had in Revelation. My struggle is lukewarmness for Christ. Anybody there with me today? To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. What do we talk about? He has called you by your name. He's called me by my name. That prodigal's father was watching for his son to return every day. And what did he do? He killed the fatted calf. He put a ring on him. And he put a robe on him. And he said, "My son is back." Is that how the Lord's worked in your life? Do you know Him as your Lord and your Savior? Joshua 24:15-18 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." Who will you serve today? Young people, who will you serve? Will you serve the Lord, or will you serve your self-interest? "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in the sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God." Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we pray that You'd mold us into Your image. Lord, I pray that You'd forgive us. For our failures before You. Sins of omission. To them that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to them that it is sin. And the sins, Lord, we knowingly sin, we pray that You'd forgive us. And Lord, I pray that You'd continue the work that You've begun in us. Mold us into Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that does not know You, I pray that they would place their faith in Your finished work. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Excuse me. He is Lord. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Time do you usually get out of here? 15 after 1. Boy, Brother Pestle preaches a long time. Praise the Lord. kind of put a twist, a missions twist on this sermon. Or the Lord did, I'm not sure. We'll blame it on the Lord. What is your life? The Bible says our life is but a vapor, and it appeareth a little while, and then it, what? Vanishes away. I was talking to somebody up here, and I can't remember when it was. It was somebody, I think somebody in this church, older than me. And he said, and we had talked about life. And he said, well, you'll be around a lot longer than I will. He was a few years older than I was, am. And I said, wait a minute. We're not promised another hour. The time we have is a gift from God. Every minute that we have is a gift from God. He's not promised us tomorrow. If you're 80, you don't know you have tomorrow. If you're, I don't know, TK, how old are you? 12. If you're 12, he doesn't promise you another minute. Every minute that we have from God is a gift from God. Our life is but a vapor, it appeareth for a little while, and then it vanishes away. What's your purpose here? Our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Are you fulfilling that purpose? Are you seeking to glorify Him in all that you do? My sermon's a mess this morning. The Lord changed my sermon this morning, and it's a mess. So I'm not sure exactly where it's going, but it's going somewhere. Philippians 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, lest each esteem other better than themselves. I don't like that verse. That means I have to put somebody else's opinion above my opinion. I have to put somebody else's desire above my desires. I have to live for somebody else. Do you like that verse? I'm the only one. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of who? Others. Who's the king? King me? You listen to Pastor Pirate? King me first? Which one was that on? Anybody? Do you remember? What? Kidnapped on I Island. If you haven't heard that, borrow it from the Webbers and listen to it, because it preaches to adults. King me first. We want our way, don't we? We want our own way in our own time. Lord, we'll serve you in our own way. That's what when the Lord's called me to preach, I said, Lord, I'll serve you, but I'm not going to be a pastor. I can be a missionary. Because, you know, I like airplanes. My dad's an airplane mechanic. Well, he's really a truck mechanic, but he plays at airplane mechanics. He loves airplanes. And he passed that along with his sin nature to me. I love airplanes, and I thought, a missionary can fly airplanes, right? So I said, Lord, I will be a missionary for you. I don't think I can preach and be a pastor, but I'll be a missionary. But it was a start. I still have a heart for missions. I love missionaries. My kid, it's fun to see my kids have a heart for mission. They love missionaries. They love to see the Lord working on the mission field. How did you get me off on missionaries? Oh, others. No, our own way, our own will. So I said, Lord, I'll be a missionary. And then he had me pastoring a church in Sealy Lake. I thought maybe later on in my ministry at college, I thought, well, I stayed at college an extra year and got a master's in education. I don't know. I'm not very educated. I don't feel very educated. Have a master's in education. And I thought, maybe we could go to China. And I really wanted to go. And someday maybe the Lord will take us to China. I don't know. As missionaries. And somebody last week, where they were talking to me about my plans for the future, I said, I'd like to stay in Sealy Lake for a few more years till my kids graduate. And then I said, I'd like to transition to the mission field. That's just my desires. I don't know what the Lord has for me. I said, I really don't know what the Lord has for me today or tomorrow, but He'll lead me. And that's what I really want. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of man. A servant? That's what he wants for me? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Submission. Who was a dreamer? Somebody said Joseph. You know who Joseph said gives the dreams? Who did Joseph tell Pharaoh that who was a giver of dreams? God was a giver and still is a giver of dreams. God gave Joseph a dream that he would be the leader in his family, that he'd rule over his brothers. And his brothers didn't like it, did they? His brothers didn't like it. His dream got him thrown into slavery. And guess what he did? He griped and he complained about his position that the Lord put him. He said, Lord, you gave me this dream. What am I here doing serving everybody else? No. He served the Lord where the Lord placed him. I don't know how many years. John, do you know how many years? You're smarter than I am. How many years did Joseph serve? It's not coming up. 30 years. Sounds like a good number. Good guess. 30 years he served. Let's throw that in. 30 years he served. And not a servant. He was a servant, and then he was thrown into jail. Wrongfully thrown into jail. But what I... He's a giver of dreams. He gave Joseph the dream that one day his brothers would serve him. Has he given you a dream today? Have you surrendered? Joseph surrendered to the will of the Lord. What a beautiful passage. here in Genesis. I didn't write it down. Genesis chapter 50. Verse 19 and 20. And Joseph said unto them, his brothers, after Jacob had passed away, his brothers thought, oh, Joseph's going to get back even with us now that dad's gone. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. Do you see God's hand in your life? Some people, when they get cancer, when they get sick, when they have distressing things happen in their life, they start blaming God. Is God in control? Yes, God is in control. Do we blame God or do we submit and say, Lord, take my life into thine hand, I commit my spirit. Am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God is at work even when times are hard. Do you believe that? It's exciting to see that God's at work. People come to me with marriage problems and they're split up, and there's no human possibility that this relationship can be put back together. I get excited. You know why? Because when life is impossible, that's when God can work the greatest works. We come to Him broken and say, Lord, I can't do it. I made this mess. I've broken this. This is a mess. Will you fix it? You take it. I'll give it to you. That's about when we give it to Him, isn't it? Do we surrender to His will? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Micah 6:8 says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Enoch walked with God and was not for God. What was the big deal with Enoch? He was a friend of God. You look back at Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God. Whose friend are you? Are you known as God's friend? Do you know Him as your friend and as your Lord? Does He know you as His friend? Surrender to His will, surrender to His plan. Remember Peter? Turn with me to John. Chapter 21. Verse 15. This was after Peter What did Peter do? He denied Jesus Christ three times. Poor Peter always had his foot in his mouth, didn't he? And Peter was kind of discouraged, I think. Verse 3 says, Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. When you get discouraged, there's things you like to do. Anybody have things you like to do? How many of you fish when you get discouraged? My dad's not a fisherman. So guess what? That makes me not a fisherman. So when I get discouraged, I do something else other than fishing. But when Peter got discouraged, when things looked pretty rough for Peter, he went fishing. What do you do when you go get discouraged? And the Lord came and met him. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore now. They were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And old Peter jumped into the water and swam to Jesus. A pretty good indication that he cared for Jesus, wasn't it? And Jesus knew Peter's heart. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than everybody here? And Peter said, Lord, you know. And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, three times. He said, Do you really love me? Feed my sheep. My question to you this morning is, do you really love him? Do you love him? Feed a sheep. Find a service to perform for your master. We're all to be missionaries. We're all called out once. The Lord has, the pastor's not the only minister in the church. We're all ministers in the church. You read the Bible, I've looked in the Bible, there's no retirement in the Bible in God's plan. Oh, I see some retirement age people here today. This retirement thing is a new thing. In an agrarian society, you pretty much live together. When you got older, you slowed down. But you still had a function to perform in the family. And the same is true today in the church. We get older, we cannot do what we used to. I can't do what I used to do. But I still have a service to perform for my King and my Master. I still have a service. Surrender to His will. Surrender to His plan. And surrender to others. And we'll close with Romans chapter 12. We like Romans chapter 12, don't we? Do you like Romans chapter? I really like the first two verses. Well, usually. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Remember where you're... Remember your history. Remember what the Lord has saved you from. Remember what David said in Psalm 51. Remember what the Lord has saved you from. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Then he kind of gives us a list that we're all supposed to have. Let love be without dissimulation. Let be true. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Do we hate? That's one of my prayers. Lord, let me see my sin from your eyes. I don't pray, let me see other sins from your eyes. Because I can see other sins from his eyes, but it's my... Lord, I want to see my sin through your eyes. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. I have two more minutes. Preferring means I have to let John go first, Pastor John go first. Give him the biggest piece of pie. The biggest steak. I have kids that like steak. I don't know what this... We didn't grow up with steak very much. And lately we've been buying beef. And our kids are spoiled rotten. They eat steak sometimes. But there's not very many of them that say, I want that small piece of steak. They want the big one. Guess who they got that from? Their mom. No, we were talking about sin in Sunday school. They get the sin nature from their dad. We want the biggest piece. No, the Bible, the Christian life says, in honor, preferring one another. That means we give Pastor John the biggest piece. No, each whoever you, I saw him first. Do we prefer others' opinions over ours? You know, I'm a pastor, and we have a deacon board. You have one of those here? Deacon boards are a pain in the neck. They are, because they have different ideas than mine. And I have the best ideas. I'm sure Pastor John has some good ideas too. I have this great idea. I take it to the deacon board and they think I'm crazy. And you know, if it's the Lord's idea, and I say, I'll just push it and say, really, the Lord laid this on my heart. I think we should do this. But sometimes it's just a good idea, a good opinion that I have, and I have to say, okay. And I have to defer to them. Why? Because it's right. Does that mean I don't ever go home and gripe to my wife because they won't listen to me? Well, sometimes I gripe. I try not to. But do we defer to others? Or do we want our own way? Oh, there is one more. Here, little rejoicing in hope. Your hope is not in Washington, D.C. I hope you realize that. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your hope there? And I didn't get to my last point, surrender to His timeline. In His time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Look for His coming. Forget what's behind. I did say the last. I have one more passage. If I can find it. Hebrews 12. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We all have a work to do for the Lord. We all have a ministry. Looking unto Pastor John. Looking unto Brother Pestle. No. You know what? If you look real close at Pastor John, you're gonna see some faults. Can't think of any right off the top of my head, but if I follow him real close, you'll see some. No, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Joy. Cross. Despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Look to Jesus. He's coming back. We better be about our Master's business. Let's surrender to him today.